What up, Bills and Browns fans? Welcome to another week, another episode of the Bills Browns Breakdown. This is, I think, episode 36.
Man, it's getting once we got past 10, I couldn't count on my fingers anymore, so I don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, it's getting pretty wild, but we're cruising and getting some nice feedback from some people who listen to the show, and they kind of like what we got going on. So just got to keep doing what we're doing and providing some good content. So it's been fun. And again, I say this every week, but the season's right around the corner. It literally is. We're heading into the third week of the preseason already, which is the big dress rehearsal. So this is a big week for
both the Bills and Browns. Yeah.
For watching whatever team you're
anybody really. Yeah.
And but there's some few things that need to get cleaned up, and that's what we're going to start quarter one off with, and that would have to be this new helmet rule, which we've all, even players, are talking about it. It's something that it's super easy to pick out from the flags that have been called the last 2 weeks, and we're going to break that down a little bit, because I tell you what, man, like it's incredible, like the flags that they're calling. It's kind of bullshit, actually.
Anybody that has a Twitter or has been on Twitter the last week probably has seen or even just watched football this last weekend, any of the games, has probably seen clips and some different things about the rule being called. And I didn't get a chance to watch every single one of them, like live, but then I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw a bunch of these clips. It needs to be cleaned up.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple different ways you can do this. And if it was up to me, I'd eliminate it altogether. But I understand the rationale behind it. Like, I understand what the NFL is trying to do.
Right.
Okay? It's for the safety of the players. Safer players means your better players play longer, stay healthier throughout the season, better product, right? That's the idea. So, a couple of these – We've talked about it before because we've played football and we understand the physics of the game and just the normal movements that you see throughout the course of a game. I think it's unrealistic to tell defenders that they can't lower their center of gravity just because you imposed a rule like a targeting rule or a helmet, a helmet-to-helmet contact rule. It makes it very difficult anytime a defensive player is tackling an offensive player to essentially remove your helmet from any incidental contact, right? Now, the idea of the rule is if a player lowers his head and initiates contact with another player's head, that's where you see the rule being enforced, right? Or where you should see the rule being enforced. But the biggest problem I see with it is that it's not being enforced both ways, right?
Right.
You have offensive players that are lowering their head as running backs, initiating contact with a defensive player. Defensive player gets called. So really it's completely biased, and it's 100% biased against defensive players. Like, defensive players are the ones that are going to get called 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10. A way to really even this out is to make it evenly called in even circumstances. That's where the rule is just kind of, to put it frankly, bullshit. Offensive players just don't, or they get more of a benefit of the doubt than a defensive player does, right, when it comes to this rule. So it's unfortunate, man, because you saw, like, the other day, it was the Minnesota game, safety blitz. I believe it was a safety blitz off the edge. Maybe it was a linebacker that moved over and blitzed off the edge.
No, I don't even think it was a blitz. I'm pretty sure it's just a defensive end making a move.
And gets in, grabs the quarterback, tackles the quarterback, and it's a flag. And I don't know what football is anymore, man. Like,
oh my God.
I seriously think that it's going to back off a little bit, but just even having that rule in place where a subjective crazy call could come down the line and affect a game. Players
what'd they do on that play? They gave him, like, I mean, that's an automatic first down, right?
Yeah, 15-yard penalty. It was roughing the passer.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game changer right there for –
What's that? That's at least 20 yards of field position swing, if not more.
Yeah.
Plus plus a down. They get a down. They get a first down. You know what I mean? That is, it's not a loss of down like it should be.
Not to mention it was clearly a sack. Like, a sack got called for being roughing the passer. The ball was in his in the quarterback's hand. He didn't even fucking throw the ball.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, so I think they're going to – hopefully, you know, one of the things to iron out is – if you're going to keep this rule in place, you're going to need you need to emphasize the fact that it has to be called on both sides of the ball. If you're only targeting defensive players, you know, that's one of the biggest problems with the rule in college is that it's strictly a defensive player rule, and it's unfortunate because I feel like it takes away from a lot of the aspects of the game. I mean, scoring and everything is great. It's already hard enough to play defense with the rules that they have in place anyway.
Right.
Now you're going to tack on something additional. Seems kind of silly to me. So, not a big fan of it. It just doesn't resemble football like I, you know, once watched. You know, in the 2000s, you never saw anything like this. And, you know, even when I was in high school, you just never saw anything like this. So, the fact that I think it's – I understand where they're coming from, but I there needs to be a better way to go about it. Now, do I think that they scale it back in the regular season? Yes, I do. But a lot of players pointed this out anyway. These refs already have the toughest job on the field. You have to be as objective as possible, watching these athletes run full speed, making calls in real time. It's very difficult to do to begin with, and now you're adding another layer onto their plate.
Right.
So with everything that they have to keep straight – It really takes away from the game at that point. So,
yeah, and it's crazy because, and like you said, we talked about it before. In the game of football, like, it's inevitable. Like, you're going to have helmet to helmet contact. Linemen are going to have it every play because that's just, you know, there's line. Obviously, all the glory comes to the people scoring touchdowns and all that stuff, the skilled guys. But the linemen are beating their helmets together every freaking play. And, you know, you're not going to stop that. The thing is, like, you're talking about how it's kind of favoring the offense because all the offensive players have to do is just, you know, put their head down and, like, they'll probably be able to get calls all day. But as a defensive player, when you're going to make a tackle, I mean, like, obviously you could drop your head down and it'd be very noticeable. But when you're making a tackle, there's a lot of times, like, if you have really good form, your head is actually up. It might not look like it, you know, because of the helmet. And when you actually make that contact, like, it might appear as if somebody's leading with their head, and then that might actually not be the case at all. And I think it's really clear, though, if someone does come in, we've seen it. You've watched games before where someone does come in fucking head first, where you're like, okay, well, that was fucking dirty. But some of these plays they're calling, to me, is not like were there like some clean, especially in that first week, there were some awesome clean hits that they called a flag on.
Did you see the tweet that they put out? I think it was like Raheem Mostert is the running back for San Fran that came down the field on a special teams play. And literally guy caught it. His head came across his body. His head was up. He could see, but down because he got low.
Right.
And head hit him right like in front of his chest and he wrapped up from the side and drove him to the ground.
I didn't get to see it. Sounds like a perfect tackle to me.
It's a form tackle. It was unbelievable. A defensive end for San Fran, rushing the passer, goes to bull rush. And when they bull rushed, they clocked heads. Penalty flag. Like,
wait, so they called roughing the passer?
They called a helmet-to-helmet roll on a defensive end in a pass rush.
Oh, my
God. Against the lineman.
That's insane.
Yeah. There was no hit involved other than – the guy firing off the line, and they kind of cracked heads because he went to bench – like, it was – he went to bench press him, and they kind of, like, brought – you know, it kind of, like, hit heads. But, yeah, like, you need to – if you get a chance, like, look these up.
I'm going to have to look it up for sure because that's, like – I mean, it happens, especially at the line. Like, it's going to happen. You can't prevent that. Like,
and if you're going to enforce this rule, much like pass interference, if you're going to enforce the rule, like, pass interference and holding happens on every play – but it doesn't get called every time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like this happens on every play, and you're never going to see it called every time. But the fact that it's even in there to begin with, really – I can understand unnecessary, you know, roughness or late hits or defensive receiver over the middle getting clocked, right? Like, I understand that rule, but the whole – I mean, how many years did it take for the NFL to figure out what a catch was? Now we got to figure out. Now we got to figure out what a tackle is.
I still haven't figured it out.
You know what I mean? Like, so now we got to try. We got to sit here and try to figure out what's a tackle.
Right.
What is my team gonna? When is my team gonna get penalized here?
Yeah.
You know, like.
And then the other side of things are, and like, it's good that the athletes are, you know, the players are starting to. I think Richard Sherman tweeted out or something about how this league is going to be flag football or something like that. So players are starting to notice, especially defensive players, and. Man, I don't know. I do you think that if they do enforce this during the season and you're starting to see all these penalties and stuff, I feel like it leaves players open to being like good players to being either like replaced. You know what I mean? Because like, what if they start letting up, you know, and then maybe they give up a big play because they're afraid to make the tackle, you know, or like, you know, like this could potentially get coaches fired too. You know, if it swings games around, you know what I mean? Like, there could be a lot of domino effect.
It could. It definitely. I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios that could play out for this, right? And I think the reality is that people in the NFL realize what's happening. Coaches realize what's happening. They're going to do whatever they can to get their players ready for, you know, whatever rules or whatever construct they need to play within, right? So, you know, it definitely could lead to a lot of those different things, and that very, you know, that's a possibility for sure. I just look at it like, remember the last Hard Knocks episode where Todd Haley was kind of picking on Kajus for running straight up and down?
Yeah, it was funny as fuck.
Oh, look at me. Oh, I'm running straight up and down. I'm begging to get sawed off, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? That's how defenders are going to have to tackle now. You can't get low.
Right.
What happens when you get low?
Your penalty.
Your head doesn't stay up here.
Right.
It drops with you, right?
Right.
So now low man doesn't win anymore, right?
Right.
Guys that are getting picked on, or I mean, I feel like you're in more chance of getting injured running straight up and down into a player than you are actually making a good form tackle and using your body physics. Like, physiologically, that is how you do that. Wrestlers do it, like, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the sport of wrestling, like, that's what happens, and you can't eliminate physics and you can't eliminate body physiology out of the game.
Right.
And you know, like. You just – people were making fun of a guy for running straight up and down in a practice on a Hard Knocks episode. And that's just – it's just silly to me. I don't see how you can continue to enforce this rule or how it can continue.
I feel like what the NFL probably needs to do if they haven't, which – because, I mean, it sounds like they haven't just because of what's going on right now, is they need to fucking talk to some of these, you know, top defensive players – even offensive players, and kind of get their opinions on what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like even offensive players would be like, all right, look, like, this is football. Like, at the end of the day, these players don't have to play. Like, they want to, and they're capable of doing it. They make a lot of money. But at the end of the day, like, it's a sport that you don't have to play, and they're playing it anyway. So with that, I mean, you know, everybody knows it's a dangerous game, right? So with that being said, I get what the NFL is trying to do, I'm trying to be a little safer, but it is a contact game. It's not fucking safe entirely. You know what I mean? It's physical. Your body takes a beating. Like, again, you know.
All I'm gonna say is if it's not called on offensive players as equal as it is on defensive players, if I'm an offensive coach, I'm teaching my players to drop their head. Every single time they're running the ball, every time they're about to get tackled, drop your head. Like, every single opportunity you get to drop your head, I'm gonna tell my offensive players to do that, right? And that's not safe for anybody.
No.
Oh, hey, the refs are gonna give up free 15 yards. Drop your head, take a shot, do it for the team. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's gonna happen. Yeah. So, unless they start calling it both ways. And that's what's going to prevent your offensive coaches from telling you that. You're telling your players to do that. Otherwise, guess what? I'm telling my players, you're about to get tackled by a second defender, or the second you get wrapped up, try to drive through it, try to break that tackle. But if you can't, drop your head, because we'll get a penalty. We'll get free 15 yards somewhere along the way in this game. So That's really the only – I mean, that's the only way to even it out. I think it just should be removed completely, but that's just me. I mean, I understand the premise, but it's just not logical, and I don't think it's practical.
Yeah, right, right. And like, you know, I have to go, like, look at the writing, like, of the actual rule. But when you think helmet to helmet, there is a difference between, like, accidental, you know, because the guys are changing levels, helmet to helmet versus and then somebody coming in, spearing in, leading with their helmet.
Exactly.
Like, you can tell a difference when that between those two. We've seen that in games, you know, forever. So the fact that they're making it more complicated than what it really needs to be is the issue. But hopefully they get that thing straightened out by week one. I think they will. I think they'll go and kind of review everything and kind of be like, all right, well.
Like I said, man, the thought never crossed my mind that I ever have to question what a tackle is.
Oh, right, right.
So.
Yeah, I can only imagine at the NFL level, like, how hard that is to fucking deal with. But you know, luckily in the game that we were watching last week, you know, that you were at, I think everything for the most part was clean. I know there was some controversy over the Landry block, which, I mean, in today's NFL, I guess you could say it's dirty because it's kind of, I think those crack blocks are technically illegal. But, like, when we played, I mean, that shit, we were taught that. Our receivers were taught to crack down like that. So I don't really know if it was dirty or not.
I think it's within a certain number of yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, you know, and – but then again – guess what? Probably was against the helmet rule that they had, right?
Yeah.
I don't, like I said, when, you know, we just got done talking about that and you see that block of that game and it's like, well, what do you do? You know?
Right.
And that's what I was alluding to before, is that it needs to be kind of back and forth. Like, you know, the offensive guys that are carrying the ball, that are dropping their heads, that needs to be addressed. And besides that block, Jarvis Landry has done that to Bills players before, so I'm probably more solid. Yeah, he ended Aaron Williams' career on the exact same block.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know.
Yeah, and it was the same deal. So, you know, I might be a little bit more salty about that than the normal fan, because I've seen him do that to two Bills players, and a lot of the Bills players were upset about that too. So, right. And I guess rightfully so, right?
Yeah.
Especially some of the former teammates of Aaron Williams that still play on the roster, like that, you know, that kind of struck a nerve for people. But besides that, I was very impressed with the game. It's the second time I've ever been to Cleveland, you know, First Energy Stadium. Very nice area, man. Really easy to get in and out of. You know, if anyone has a chance or opportunity, you're in Cleveland, Ohio, and you, the Browns are playing, definitely recommend seeing the stadium. It's really cool.
This is also going to be game quarter two.
Yep, for sure. So the Bills, man, I was fairly impressed by. I mean, obviously the storyline is Josh Allen, right? You know, the first unit came out, I didn't think AJ McCarron was a sharp, but honestly, this is kind of what we heard about in practice. Guy holds the ball a little too long. You know, like it just. That's just kind of been his MO coming in, you know, as a quarterback in general. But wasn't very sharp. Wasn't very – I don't know if it was really vanilla for their offense. You know, like we want to get LeSean McCoy some touches, but we don't want to showcase him too much or risk injury or whatever the case might be. Didn't look that great for the starting unit, right? Starting defense got gashed on
early, yeah.
And – you know, we kind of talked about it before the show. I rewatched the game. I actually rewatched it twice yesterday. Or was it yesterday or Saturday? No, it was yesterday. I rewatched the game. Noticed a lot of it was linebacker play, typically. Tremaine Edmonds made a couple mistakes, but then he made a couple really stellar plays. Watching him fly around the football field was amazing. That quick throw that Tyrod had out to Antonio Callaway on the screen, the wide receiver screen. Tremaine Edmonds went from 0 to 60 just like that, and he was the one that made the tackle out there from the middle linebacker spot. So getting out there, he beat the offensive lineman. You know, that offensive lineman was supposed to block him, beat him, made the tackle. It was awesome to watch. But he also made some rookie mistakes, you know, filling wrong gaps on runs, you know, leaving creases, things like that. So things to learn. Matt Milano did the same thing. I was texting you about him too. I was not really – I saw a couple of cases where it looked like he shot the wrong gap trying to get in the backfield fast, and it just left a big opening. So a couple of things to clean up there. Losing Kyle Williams in that game, Thankfully, it doesn't seem like it's a long-term injury. It feels like he's going to be back and ready to go. It's a week-to-week thing, so hopefully by third or fourth game of the year, he's back and ready.
What did he hurt?
It was a knee. Okay. Yeah, okay. So
he's a nose guard. Nose tackle.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of our defensive tackles. But thankfully, the Bills have depth. And in Harrison Phillips, the defensive tackle that slotted in for Kyle looks really good, and I think he's going to impress a lot of people this year. I thought that was a solid pick when they took him, and I think he's going to slot in and really do some good things for the Bills in Kyle Williams' absence. So that was encouraging to see. I mean, but like I said, man, if you didn't walk away fairly impressed with Josh Allen in this game, you know, I don't know really what you were watching, because I thought he had a pretty solid game. You see the zip that he puts on the throws. You do see the miscues, you know, every once in a while. That first pass he threw to Kelvin Benjamin, a little bit of a miscue. Don't know if it was a misreading coverage or Calvin didn't, you know, I don't know what the case was, but miscue there. I rewatched the throw out of the backfield that a lot of people lambasted him for, because he threw a freaking laser that was incomplete out of the backfield to, I believe it was Marcus Murphy was running that route. I rewatched it. Left tackle did not get the cut block. So okay. that guy was really in the passing lane that he should have had to deliver that ball. And he did deliver it. If he delivered it on time, it gets batted. So he gave the running back some opportunity to maybe catch it and make a move. But all in all, I didn't think that play was, like, horrible. You know, I think he just kind of threw it in there real quick just to, all right, let's just get it out. You know,
you mean like people are saying, like, put more touch on the –
a lot of people say, well, that's what he was not really good at. And I said that's kind of – this play specifically was hard to judge that. Just because when I watched it, it looked like guy was in the throwing lane. Like, it was kind of not executed very well. Cut block didn't get the guy's hands down, you know, like that sort of deal. So, a lot tougher of a throw. I understand, you know, his approach there. But pocket presence for a big guy. I mean, Josh Allen's 6'5", 250 pounds. Like, he's right. A big dude. And just his ability to maneuver in the pocket.
I'd say his ability just to maneuver in general. I mean, the guy can run.
Right, and make plays, man. I mean, you know, one of the things that he's going to have to do a better job of is pre-snap recognition of blitzes and things. You know, there's a couple times safety came down late, got in free, you know. And I think what the coaching staff is going to start doing with him is utilizing a couple more false counts. So, and I did see that a couple of different times where he would come up to the line, green 80, hut, hut, try to get the defense to show, make a check, do it again. Defense show their hand. All right, now I got it. And then he goes with the play. I think they're going to start utilizing that. And, you know, it's encouraging to see that they're giving him the opportunity to make those checks at the line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, get up there. And a lot of rookie quarterbacks just get up and run a play, right?
Right.
Or don't really know what they're doing. And I was really impressed with in and out of the huddle, made it happen quick enough where you have the opportunity to do that and diagnose the defense before you run a snap. And just being able to correctly identify where pressure is coming from, and, you know, really get a good feel for that. But he's going to need to work on that going forward some more. There were some times where that slipped, you know, kind of by the wayside. But, dude, sideline throws are not going to be a problem for this guy. And I feel like that is going to be his bread and butter for his career, is be able to get these outbreaking routes, deliver them with enough velocity and enough accuracy where defenders aren't going to be able to react in time. Right. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting the ball out there faster than pretty much anybody in the NFL can do. There's probably, like, three other quarterbacks that might be able to do it just as good as him as far as a velocity standpoint. Defenders aren't used to seeing that.
Right.
That ball gets there that much faster. You have to be that much quicker on your read. That, you know what I mean? So, overall, I thought he did a lot of really good things. Some stuff he needs to work on. There's growing pains as a rookie. Very impressed with him. And that is why he's getting the Week 3 start against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I thought.
But overall,
I thought he looked pretty well.
Yeah.
Wasn't really expecting.
Yeah.
You know, he went in against the first team DU, who was the defense, the first three or four drives was three and out. So on a defense.
AJ McCarron got hurt, so he got forced into action a little bit earlier than he wanted to, right?
Right.
So, or maybe the coaches wanted to put him in. But yeah, he got looks against the first team D. And, you know, I thought he did. All three drives were a scoring drive.
Yeah.
You can't ask any more out of a rookie quarterback at that, you know, at that point. But
and I think, you know, what you're just to touch on what you're talking about, the pre snap read and everything. And, you know, if he does become the starter, obviously it's going to be you're going to be able to see that a lot more when they start, you know, getting into the season, and they'll be able to game plan and all that stuff. So I guess
if he can do that now, different looks.
Right. If he can do that now in preseason, then you should be able to do that during the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a growing opportunity for him to grow, right? Like, he's going to see different looks. He's going to see different coverages. They're, you know, defenses are going to do different things to try to confuse him. And, you know, as long as he can kind of get the repetition and see that stuff in action, you know, hopefully he grows from it. And the biggest thing is upstairs, really. He's got the tools, and his mechanics look a lot better. He's got the tools to throw the football. It's just going to be about upstairs. What does he do, you know, as far as the mental part of the game, to grow. And I really think that he has the opportunity to do that. So, I was actually very impressed, and it was awesome to see him in action. You know, just to see that arm and how he carried himself in action was awesome.
Yeah. And so, I was texting Nick actually during the game, 'cause there's something that I thought I saw stick out with the Bills, a player, and that was, number 45. It's Marcus Murphy, right?
Yep, Marcus Murphy, the running back.
Yeah, you know, he had a nice return, and then, like, he was – when he got in that running back, he looked really good. And then that to me told me, all right, well, if anything does happen to McCoy, you know, because McCoy is getting older, you know, they could put him in there, and you're still going to get some production out of him, it looks like. So I thought that stuck out to me.
He's been standing out all camp. He's been making plays all the time. He should be a lock for the roster, I believe, as a depth running back. It's good to see that he was able to produce in the return game as well, because that's what this coaching staff was going to look for out of a backup running back, is going to be somebody that can produce in special teams, and he was able to do that. So I was really impressed with him, and I think he's really kind of made strides, even from last year to this year. He was kind of a sleeper guy last year, and – you know, he's made a ton of strides from last year to this year, and I'm really excited to see him be able to get out and get an opportunity every week. And he's been kind of like one of the fan favorites, like in camp and everything too. So the guy obviously has talent. He's been showing it on the field, and I like how he runs, and I think he's going to fit in with this scheme and just ultimately on the team very well. So that was one of the guys that kind of stood out to me, like you mentioned. It stood out to you. I think he's been standing out to me as far as reports from camp and everything as well.
Yeah. And, you know, last week's game for the Bills, you know, I mentioned Ray-Ban McCloud being a rookie who I, you know, just seeing him and watching, and we can talk about that if you'd like, the new Bills series Embedded. And, yeah. You know, he even stuck out in camp. So as from a rookie receiver, I mean, he's kind of quiet in this game, I think, but –
well, he had an injury leading up to the game, so he didn't get as much playing time as he probably would have liked, or you probably would normally see with him. I think just what he brings offensively from a versatile standpoint, he brings a lot to the table. I don't know. I mean, punt returning should be a consideration there. You know, kickoff returning should be in consideration there. You know, as a receiver, he's been really solid, but I just think you can do a lot of different things with him. Moving around backfield, slot receiver, you know, and in the return game, I don't see how he doesn't make the team. But there's a lot of bodies on that in the receiver room fighting for maybe like three spots. You got probably about eight or nine players really battling it out for three spots left. So can't keep everybody unless they decide to keep an extra wide receiver versus you know, what they typically do from a roster standpoint. Can't keep everybody though. Right. And that's going to be the thing that, you know, I'm really kind of looking forward to how it shakes out towards the end of the year.
Oh yeah. I would imagine the first cuts are probably what they already made. Some?
They're coming up soon. A lot of teams are doing that right now. So
I was going to say, yeah. I wonder if they changed it, 'cause they used to be, I thought it was like after the week game one or two that they would have like a cut that you have to make by that Saturday to, it goes from like 90 something, whatever's on the roster. They cut like 20 players. And I thought there was at least two cuts they make before they get the final roster.
Yeah, it might be something like that.
I can't remember exactly. They might have changed it, because I feel like we would have heard something by now from all teams.
I don't think – I know that they have to – I don't think there's like specific cut days like they used to do. I think it's just now you have to have 90 guys or 53 guys on the roster by a certain day.
Okay.
So I don't think it's like actual, like you have to be down to this many guys. I think it just kind of, as you go, you can cut whoever you want to cut. So, okay. Which makes better for, you know, guys, especially like, hey, I have to cut down to this many players, but I still have a competition going on. Like it makes it a little bit better for the team. And I think it's a little bit more team friendly for that side.
Oh, yeah.
So, sure. Did you get a chance to watch that embedded series?
I did watch it.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It was cool. And like, I did tell you it's, because they're that's like the Bills are making that on their own, and you know they have probably
right
control in what they're doing. You know, it's, you know, if you're someone that watches Hard Knocks and you see like how coaches really are, this one's a lot more cleaner. You know what I mean? Like you're not gonna hear a bunch of fucking F bombs. You know what I mean? And but it's still pretty interesting. I think another thing I noticed, and obviously it's hard not to compare when you watch like All or Nothing or Hard Knocks, but like the Browns have a pretty solid facility, because you look at the college and stuff that the Bills are at and you're like, it almost like doesn't even look like a professional team. You're kind of like, is this college ball? Like, you know what I mean? Just because
it's very interesting.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. And I think getting away from like your homes and everything and making guys bunk together room, yeah. You know what I mean? Room together, they're spending all this time together. Not saying that that's not what, you know, how the Browns is, but you got guys that own homes in Cleveland. Guess what they get to do at the end of the day? They can go home.
Go there, yeah.
You know what I mean? Get away from everything. For the Bills, because they're in a dorm room atmosphere, it's almost like you're there all the time with your guys, you know? Yeah. So it's cool from that aspect, because I feel like that builds your camaraderie a little bit more.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sure. But from a facility standpoint, I totally agree. I think St. John Fisher has a pretty good facility, but, you know, obviously it's not an NFL caliber facility.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So – you know, there's trade-off there, and obviously, as the coaches, you watch that series. Coaches are sitting in folding chairs and you know, folding tables, which I'm surprised Bills Mafia didn't blast through whenever they had the opportunity. You know, you're seeing these guys on these folding tables and stuff, like just with laptops doing their work and meetings. Right. So, yeah, a little different, but it's real cool to see. I just love getting the glimpse of the coaching staff and how Sean McDermott does things versus how he is at press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
Interviews, so to speak. So, yeah.
No, it's pretty cool, because I don't think I've ever really watched him in press conferences, but seeing like his philosophy and the stuff he's kind of like preaching was really cool. So, I think it's a pretty solid series. And that airs usually what?
It's Wednesdays every week. So, we have Hard Knocks on Tuesday. So, I have 2 days worth of TV that I love watching at that point.
Right. Yeah. So, I think it's pretty solid. I'd be interested to see how many episodes are they doing.
You know? I'm not sure how many they're doing, but if you're a Browns fan, I would definitely check it out just to kind of see how it compares to Hard Knocks. Like you were saying, Justin, it's tough because
– I mean, who knows? They could add that in later. That was just the first episode. Who knows?
Well, maybe. The lady that's producing it worked for Hard Knocks for a while too. So it's kind of
– maybe we'll get to that.
And stuff, so, but it's just cool to see the different dynamic. I know it's mostly I think of it more of a marketing ploy for the Bills, so you might not see an exact parallel.
Right.
It's cool to just see the different coaching styles and how what the Browns do versus what the Bills do are, you know, different and similar. So it's just kind of cool to get that compare and contrast to the two teams.
I'll definitely be watching again this week. Is that everything you got for the
– That's all I got, man. That's all I got as a recap.
Well, that will end quarter three. We'll go to the Browns here and – you know, I guess I'll touch on defense here that kind of stuck out that we kind of talked about. Browns defense looked pretty solid, especially in those first three or four series. It was, you know, straight three and outs for the Bills offense. And, you know, even when the Josh Allen got in there in that first series, the Browns did make a big play, but then they got flagged. They kind of killed themselves, and the Bills were able to take advantage of it with Josh Allen. And the one thing I will say, which made it more impressive of Josh Allen's drives, is how much pressure this Browns defense was able to get. You know what I mean? And it's as a Browns fan, like, it's great. That's what you want to see, because we're getting to the quarterback. And, you know, when you get to the quarterback, good things happen for you defensively. You know what I mean? So it's really good to see that. And the thing about that is, which – We don't really hear a lot about it, because, you know, everybody's talking about Baker Mayfield. We're talking about the weapons that the Browns have on offense, because it's probably on paper the best offense they've had since freaking 1994, before they got freaking sold and moved to Baltimore. So defensively, I like it. They're super deep. A across the line. Their linebackers are pretty deep. Jarnard Avery, rookie out of Memphis, linebacker who had got to play a lot. And apparently they love this guy. They compare him to a young James Harrison, just like in his build, because he's like a strong ass dude. I mean, they're pretty similar in those ways. So I don't know. I don't know like who's officially going to be the starters at linebacker, but I guarantee you Jarnard Avery is going to be one of those guys that we see in there a lot. Kendricks, we got from Philadelphia, is a baller. Burgess plays well. He started a lot last year due to injury. So they got some deep. I'm not really sure how many defensive line ends the Browns are going to keep. I don't know how many linebackers are going to keep whenever it comes to cutting. And then you got our cornerbacks. We're super deep at cornerback, even though E.J. Gaines did finally get hurt. I know that was our thing at the beginning of the season. Like, if he can stay healthy, he can be pretty solid. But I guess they carted him off the field yesterday. Switching over to offense, one of the things that we talked about that I wanted to see in this game was, a better running game. And they definitely did that. They did not pass as much. Well, I guess Baker did, but Tyrod kind of looked almost like you used to say, like kind of inconsistent as far as like, one game he'll throw, look pretty solid, and the next game won't do much. He looked kind of conservative in that game against the Bills, But, the running game looked pretty solid, and that's what I wanted to see. So that's – I'm cool with that. And then Baker gets in and, doing what Baker does, I think I said this before we started the podcast, we were talking about this, and you got to give credit to Baker because there were some times where he stood in the pocket and, he probably could have got sacked, but, he moved so well with his feet in the pocket. Mm-hmm. His feet just move well in general. And he's able to stay in there and deliver the ball. So I like what I saw from him. He had a touchdown that obviously got overturned, but still it was a beautiful ball, like where it was landed. Chubb bounced back, had a really solid game. And then obviously Carlos Hyde balled out too. So I liked what I saw. And then Hollywood Higgins, man, I think he's going to make this team as a receiver. It's like his third year. I swear this dude – I thought he was a smaller guy. He's like 6'1", but I'm pretty sure this dude grew like 5 inches in the last couple of years. Cause I thought he was like a tiny dude.
He looked tall.
Right. But I didn't think he was like that. When they drafted him originally, when they got him, but I think he's going to make this team, and he's been making some plays. So it's awesome. I overall like what I'm seeing this Thursday, or, we'll break down the Bills and the Browns preview here in quarter four, but I'm interested to see this game this week because it's the dress rehearsal and the Browns have to play Philadelphia. So you're going up against the reigning champs right now. This week against their starters, and we're gonna see what happens. I honestly, let me know what you think about this. I think that I agree. Like, hey, just play Tyrod Taylor, let him start week one. That's fine. However, I would love to see Baker Mayfield get first-team reps against the Eagles, see what he's made of. He's either going to sink or swim. If he struggles a little bit, who gives a fuck? It's preseason. You know what I mean? If you want to find out what the kid's got, I say you play him against the ones at some point in this game coming up.
The problem with the perception of week three preseason is that that's your dress rehearsal for the start of the season, right?
True.
So you're going to want to get Tyrod probably. I mean, it's kind of like a ramp-up thing. Like, you start off – taking a few punches to the chest, and then you ramp it up and you take a few more body blows, and maybe, during sparring, and you take a couple face shots just to get used to being hit by somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. And then now you're in the let's fully spar, let's fully do this sort of deal. So, like, you're ramping these players up to kind of get prepared for the season. And, physically getting hit, responding to hits, treating your body from hits, that all is just like anything else that they do. You just need practice with it. So I think, like, with that being said, that's why a lot of coaches like to get these guys reps in the third preseason game. Would I like to see Baker have that opportunity? Absolutely. I think that's your future, really. Right. I alluded to this, and Josh Allen's going to be getting the start for Buffalo, and he got some reps with the ones. Maybe try to take that same approach in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I think not until he clearly beats out Tyrod Taylor. It's fine to kind of bring him along slowly. And until he actually is obviously the better quarterback and gives them the better chance to win, every week, that's when you play him. I don't think he's there yet. I honestly was surprised to see the acceleration of like Josh Allen. I didn't think he was there yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah. Circumstances kind of it pushed it along the way a little bit faster.
Right.
He's in a good spot. Baker's in a good spot. I wouldn't necessarily rush it. I mean, yeah, you would love to see what he gets with, you know, versus the ones. That would be ideal. But really, you got to start kind of prepping for the season. And that's why and I thought Baker, like you alluded to earlier, I thought Baker did a lot of really good things in this game. He showed flashes. His pocket presence is really uncanny for a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't leave the pocket. It's movement within the pocket. It's unbelievable to watch because usually watch any other quarterback. It's instead of moving within the pocket, typically it's roll out, get outside,
right.
Make a play outside, scramble drill, right? His movement inside the pocket and just being able to create and maintain throwing lanes amongst guys that are way taller than he is, it's fun to watch. When I was there, I'm like, just his feet, the way he just shuffles. He's got, you know, somebody mentioned on it. I was watching it or read it earlier. A lot of Drew Brees on how he maneuvers, how Drew Brees maneuvers.
Right. Pocket, that's right? What I get when I watch him.
It's very similar when you see that. And, you know, and he's an accurate player. He can deliver the ball with accuracy. Sometimes it gets away from him. Sometimes his mechanics get a little weird.
Yeah.
He overstrides on throws. And that's where you see, like, a couple low balls over the middle of the field where he probably could have put it a little bit higher, give your chance to receive, you know, receiver a chance, a little bit better chance, I should say, to make that catch. But overall, just his ability to even get to the point where he can extend the play like that is amazing. Right. And you don't see him take off and run. He wants to push the ball downfield with his arm. He's not – oh, shit, things are breaking down. I escaped a couple guys. I'm just going to get out of here.
Yeah, he's always looking out.
He hangs in there, and it's impressive. It's uncanny as a rookie. I really liked what I saw out of Baker. And I think he – honestly, Maxim, he's going to be a stud for you guys for years to come. You know, we were high on him coming out of the draft anyway. And, you know,
right,
we saw
right.
a lot of the same things, and it's just his accuracy and everything.
His arm's stronger than people give him credit for. Oh,
absolutely. As long as he gets the mental part down, which I think he shouldn't have any problem with doing, as long as he gets the mental part down and kind of learns the ropes as an NFL professional, he's going to be fine. And I don't think it's not too much to ask for the fan base to show a little patience with a guy, especially with the track record of the Browns rushing guys out onto the field and just never having anyone produce. Yeah,
I think the general, like, I don't know this for sure, but I would think the average Browns fan right now would probably is okay with Tyrod being the guy right now.
Exactly.
Now, hopefully, I mean, Tyrod's usually been a pretty healthy player. I don't think he's ever had any injuries. He's played all of the games, right? The last 3 years, obviously, besides getting benched last year, but for injury wise, like he's played
a couple things here and there, dings, you know, but. Not
so he's pretty durable is what I'm getting.
Really anything to worry about, honestly.
Right. So, you know, he's probably gonna play the full season. And like I said, like if you get to the point towards the end of the season where like you're not making the playoffs, it doesn't really matter, then let Baker get in there, get some like kind of like the last week of the season, like what they did with in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I agree. I love Baker, no need to rush. But I'm not gonna lie, I like watching the kid play. So last couple things I want to touch on is we'll talk some Hard Knocks here. You know, Nick just made me aware of this before we started the podcast. I didn't see it, but there's a clip for this week's episode with Dez Bryant visiting, and it was kind of interesting. So I think the show is just super entertaining. There's just so much going on, you know what I mean? That even if you're not a Browns fan, like you got to find this entertaining as shit. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, like Todd Haley's. I think, you know, he gets. To me, he's like Greg Williams. They're kind of like very similar. And I love how – I would love to see like in practice those two just like going at it as an offensive defensive coordinator. Because you know they're talking shit to each other. We kind of saw it when Ty Haley was yelling. They like not hit the quarterback. But when Ty Haley was sitting there making fun of Carl. He was talking about Carl in the sieve. He's like, did you see that? Where he's like talking about – he's like, if you're a baby and they just name you Carl. What's up, Carl? And he was like
making – Right. Yeah, I love that, dude. That's
like, dude, that was hilarious.
And coaches are goofy, man. Just yeah, in general, coaches are goofy.
Yeah. Or when he was calling out Callaway, he's like, he looked like a lost puppy dog. And he's just like staring at him, just keeps going, you know? So I think Todd Haley's pretty funny, and I really think that Todd Haley is probably going to be the next guy in line. Like, if Hugh Jackson gets fired, they're going to interview Todd Haley. Like, the dude's going to be a head coach at some point. So, like, I feel like he would be a top candidate if so. I'm not worried if, you know, the Browns – I mean, obviously I'm not expecting them to win a ton of games, but I'm not worried if Hugh Jackson gets fired ever, because I feel like Todd Haley is going to be the next guy.
The good news is that you got guys in your – and your coaching staff that have done it before, you know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right,
like,
right.
They've been coaches. Craig Williams is the head coach of the Bills, you
right,
know?
Right.
Todd Haley's been the head coach of the Chiefs. So, there's guys there that could do that. So,
and I think Todd Haley would keep Greg Williams, too. And, maybe I could be wrong. Maybe you'd have another guy in mind. But I feel like those two – we'll see what happens this season on the field. But I feel like those two would work well together. But I made a video breaking down this last episode of Hard Knocks, so I don't want to go, like, too crazy into it. Obviously, Corey Coleman said there's more to the story, which I assume there is. The way they chopped it together obviously made him, like, in the wrong. But the point that I made in the video that I made on Facebook was that I think by him being frustrated about being with the twos, I feel like the way this coaching staff is, you see how Todd Haley is. Like, even if you make a good play, Todd Haley will be like, all right, well, you got to do this. You know, constructive criticism, you know, he's never going to be pleased, you know. And I think they probably wanted to see Coleman – be like, okay, I'm with the twos. Well, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm going to work even harder to get back in with the ones.
And, right, have him respond a little bit.
Yeah. So I think the fact he's like, well, you know, upset, why don't you just trade me then? You know, I think that to the Dorsey and all them were kind of like, all right, well, we were going to cut you anyway. So here, we'll see what we can trade you for. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of shit we don't know about that whole situation. And, you know, but it is what it is. Coleman's with the Bills now. Hopefully he can produce for you guys. And
I hope so, man.
I think Antonio Callaway again. I'll touch on that really quick. Do you agree with that punishment they did? You could tell the motherfucker was getting tired playing all game. And you did take a risk, though, because I think he kind of tweaked the ham. Not like, I don't know. I think it was a groin yesterday. They said he's got a little groin issue. And, you know, maybe that's due to him playing. I don't know. But hopefully he's healthy. Oh, last thing. Obviously, the big news yesterday, Josh Gordon is officially back with the team. And I don't know what that – I don't know what happens with the Dez thing now. Like, I don't know if you could have Dez Landry and Josh Gordon on the same team. Obviously, Dez is trying to prove it, you know. And if you have all that – receive all that talent on the field, Dez's numbers probably aren't going to be very high. You know what I mean? So, is that what you want if you're trying to make a you know, like, prove yourself? You got to be able to be getting targets to do that. So,
yep.
I guess Dez is going to have to figure out what it is he actually wants at this point in time in his career.
Like, but that clip for Hard Knocks kind of was an interesting little.
It was. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, because who knows if any. Obviously, I feel like if other teams wanted Dez, they would have reached out by now. So I don't know what his deal is. That's why they want to work him out and all that stuff. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Glad Gordon's back. I think this is great news for that offense, and
back in time just to get them ready for week one.
Right. Pretty much. And I'm excited for that offense. And you know, as I wrap up quarter three here, we're going to get into quarter four, and we'll break down the games for the preview for this week a little bit deeper. But going into quarter four now, first thing we're going to talk about before we get to those dress rehearsal previews is we're going to talk about this Ohio State investigation. It ended yesterday, I believe. So maybe tomorrow we're going to find out what the verdict is on the whole situation. And there's been a lot of rallies and shit to keep Urban Meyer. Like, down in Columbus, there's been people out there, like, protesting, I guess you could say. People love the guy. I understand why other people will probably be like, oh, they're going to jump to conclusions. Like, oh, this dude didn't report whatever. He had this guy who's a dirtbag, you know, hitting his chick or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, how would you feel? I mean, obviously you're a Ohio State fan too. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on that whole thing?
I mean, it all just kind of really depends on what the truth of the matter is. You know what I mean? If it push comes to shove and he hit a bunch of stuff just to keep a guy on the, you know, as a coach on the roster, like, yeah, it's kind of shady to me.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I feel like there's so much stuff that goes on in college and professional sports that we don't even ever see.
There's so much shitty shit.
So, not even just because,
coaching, right. Like, in the AD, you know, I bet you they all do some shady shit.
If you're mad at one university about something, you're more than likely going to be, you know, mad about everything. Ignorance is bliss in that case, whatever. But it all just kind of depends on the facts of the matter and what, you know, what the council found, I guess, as a proper punishment, proper right. consequence.
Yeah. And, you know, if he does get to keep his job, you know, they did a legit investigation, right? So if right. the investigators came in and were like, you know what, he did what he was supposed to do, then what can you do? They know more than we know.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, I think whatever they decide, we kind of have to go with, unless there's some other like facts or anything else that comes out that to support a different conclusion there. It seems like it's trending to a suspension versus firing, which in the eyes of Ohio State fans is terrific news because of what Urban Meyer brings to the team as both a coach and a recruiter. But you know, at the end of the day, there's always going to be that blemish. There's always going to be that. Now they're under a microscope a little bit more sort of deal. So, you know, I had a gut feeling that he was going to get fired. And it was when I saw that they're going to try to conclude the investigation within a 2-week time frame. And whenever you put a timetable that's relatively quick like that, it usually means one outcome. But at the end of the day, somebody made a good point. Hey, if it was that serious, they would have fired him immediately. It wouldn't have been a 2-week window. So I can see the merit both ways. My gut feeling was he was going to get fired, but it seems like it's turning toward suspension, which is good for the program. Because like I said, Urban Meyer brings a lot to the table when it comes to college athletics and running a program. So
absolutely. So, I mean, we're going to probably find out here. News like this generally happens right after we upload the podcast. So it wouldn't surprise me if this happens like 2 hours after this thing.
It's like a bad luck thing. Good luck thing. I don't know. We usually good, like some sort of news breaks as soon as we get done recording. So it's, plan on seeing something crazy. I'm sure.
And, you know, next week when we get back on here, we will be doing a preview because, you know, a week from this Saturday is Ohio State's home opener. Well, I don't know about home opener, but
it's their first game. Yep.
And kicks off college football weekend. And, yeah, I'm fucking pumped. So, hopefully next week we'll know who the starting quarterback's going to be and what they're going to do. It should be Haskins, I would imagine, but I don't know. I have been looking up Bleacher Report on my phone with Ohio State, and like I haven't seen anything about a starting quarterback. But the one thing I have been reading is I guess the receiving core. They got like a young receiving core in there, and I guess they're like pretty legit. So they're being hyped up. We'll see that. You got Nick Bosa back. It's probably going to be his last year before he heads to the NFL.
They'll probably be a top five pick next year.
And, you know, so I think the defense should still do pretty well. And then you got that stud running back, Dobbins. So, yeah, I'm excited. New year. Hopefully we can get to the playoffs this year, and it'll be great. Start with the Bills here. Let's do a little preview this week. Who do they got? And what are you looking forward to?
Well, so we got Bills versus Bengals. Third best quarterback in the probably third best quarterback of all time in a Bills uniform, Andy Dalton. Or not in a Bills uniform, just best quarterback ever for the Bills. Their best would be Andy Dalton, getting them to the playoffs last year. So he's probably going to be a Wall of Famer. We're going to get to see that man in action with the rook, Josh Allen, starting for the Bills this week.
What day do they play?
That would be Sunday.
Oh, okay. I'll be able to
we're going to get to see Josh Allen, man, and we're probably going to get to see him for a decent chunk of time. I don't really know how they're going to do this. I mean, with the rotation, the way they've been shaking stuff up, it'll be interesting to see how they play this from just a rotation or a rep standpoint. What does this indicate? What's going to happen to start the season? I don't know. Does it indicate that a team, and I saw it, and it's a pretty valid point here, the Bills haven't really announced starters all the way up until like right before kickoff. So you don't really know until like maybe a couple hours before kickoff in the games who was starting at quarterback the last two weeks. Okay. And they come out this early and announce it. What does that say? I don't know. I'm kind of the opinion that they're doing this and they're still going to, you know, kind of play it close to the vest after this and we'll find out. But it'll be nice, man. See him go up against the ones. That's really the preview that you're looking for. Watch the wide receiver battle.
see who was getting most of the repetitions and rotation there. I had a good conversation with my buddy Sean. And one of the other things I'm curious to see is the tight end battle, see how that looks, because he was under the impression that Nick O'Leary is the guy that makes the team. He's a lock, and I don't think so. And when we were talking, he kind of started to, you know, move towards my line of thinking, and I want to see how that shakes out. So really curious to see the wide receiver repetitions and how that all plays out, who gets most of the reps, who has a good game, who has a strong showing. I want to see how Josh Allen looks behind the ones, the first team offensive line, and just the first team offense in general. And, just kind of see I just want to look forward to guys walking out of there without being injured. I want a healthy team going into the season. So
absolutely.
That's really, I mean, the main points of what I'm focusing on in this game. That's kind of what I'm looking at.
For me, so the Browns will play on Thursday night, and it's primetime game. I think it's the only game on, actually. Possibly. But I know they're going to – the Browns in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's Thursday night, and it's nationally televised. It's going to be very interesting. What I want to see is, obviously, I don't really care about the, you know, win-loss thing. I want to see – this is like a good test because, obviously, the Eagles, I mentioned earlier, the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. They're very good still. And I want to – this is like a good test for the Browns to see what they can do against this team, right? So I just want to see them be able to move the football like they've been, like no three and outs, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to see them be able to drive the football against the Eagles. And then if that leads to some points, awesome. You know, I just want to see solid drives. Obviously, I do want to see – I want to see some points. I want to see our receivers, you know what I mean? But I'm really going into this with the very low bar, I guess you could say. One of the things I really want to see is defensively, I want to see some turnovers that puts our offense in like a good field position. You know what I mean? And then that's whenever our offense would be able to maybe produce out of that, because that doesn't usually happen for us, I feel like, you know. So, you know, I don't know. All in all, I guess I'm just looking to see some competitive competition there. You know what I mean? Because usually we're used to just – good teams like that really driving down the field, scoring on us, you know. I want to see the offense take care of the football.
Always a positive when your guys go out there and battle, especially when you're the defending Super Bowl champs. Like, it's just it's a positive look, but they're not at full strength. You know, it's a preseason, so but it's just good. It's good and healthy to see kind of what direction and where your mindset is going into it. And yeah, I'd definitely love to see, how things are handled. And, you know, maybe this is the game that you start to see the offense open up a little bit and you kind of get a little bit better feel of some plays and everything. But, I'm looking forward to watching the Browns this week too. Hard Knocks always gets me fired up for the game. So,
So, you know, we'll see. I'm excited. You know, like, obviously last week I wanted to see the running game. We got that. I want to see it all put together now. I want to see a mix of, like, a solid running game and obviously get the passing game in there too. And, you know, because, like, the Bills did a really good job of shutting down Landry. I'm not sure what was going on there, that the receivers weren't open. I don't know if that was a Tyrod thing or Tyrod, whatever the fuck you want to call him. I don't know if you saw that shit they were doing.
Unbelievable. It's Tyrod.
But we'll see. But I actually, we're talking about injuries, man. I agree. I want both teams to come out super healthy. Carlos Hyde, as I was reading yesterday, kind of has a sore shoulder. So I expect Chubb to get a lot of carries, and we're going to see what the rookie's made out of there against that Eagles defense. And I'm excited, man. It's going to be a good week. And we're getting down to the nitty gritty because, I mean, week four is kind of like nobody really gives a fuck. This is like people trying to make the team, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be a bunch of scrums.
This is like the last game before we get to week one and start of the season. So, what I want to know, though, from you listeners out there, your Bills fans, Browns fans, we need to know, like, what your thoughts. What are you looking forward to seeing in this dress rehearsal game for the Bills and Browns? Go ahead and tweet us at Bills Browns Pod. Hit us on Facebook. Bills Browns Breakdown, and then also our Instagram page is, you know, we're starting to get some more content on there, and that's also at Bills Browns Pod. So hit us up and let us know what you're thinking, man, and what'd you like from this last week's games.
That's it, man. That's I mean
all you got.
I'm curious to see what everyone else thinks. What, like you said, I want to see what everyone's looking forward to and what everyone is, you know, kind of had a
as initial impressions from this last game. Besides just talking mad shit on Twitter, I want to hear what everyone's outcome, you know what I mean? Like what they thought of this last game. So, definitely give us a tweet, shoot us right on our Facebook page, or, you know, give us a comment on some of the stellar pictures I ended up taking from the game this last week and let us know.
Yeah. And before we end the show here, we were going to touch on this in the beginning, but people who can't see Nick right now, he decided he's going to grow out this mustache of his for 6 months.
I got to preface this real quick before we end this thing by saying I can't grow facial hair. Like, if anyone has ever seen me, I mean,
I struggle myself.
We did the video the one day and we put it on Facebook. Like, I got the biggest baby face there ever was, like, ever. Like, I face the earth. Just, it's unbelievable. I don't grow arm hair. I don't grow leg hair. I have very little armpit hair naturally. Like, it's weird. Like, I just don't grow hair. But I didn't shave for 2 weeks and I said, fuck it. I'm just going to grow a mustache and see what happens. And it looks very creepy. I'm not going to lie to you. I probably should get a windowless van and spray paint like free candy or something on the side of it. That's what I feel like right now growing this thing. But it's a 6 month commitment for me. I'm going to grow it for 6 months and we'll see how this thing plays out. But
by the end of the 6 months, Nick's mustache is going to get banned from being 100 feet within elementary schools.
Yeah. Not me. Just the mustache.
Yeah. Just the mustache. Yep. Might even do some time.
Who's the dude from Napoleon Dynamite, Napoleon's brother? I feel like that guy.
His brother? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His brother. I feel like Napoleon Dynamite's brother.
Oh, that's funny.
If that says anything. So, it's
getting pretty serious.
Yeah.
It's getting pretty serious, guys.
So, yeah, that's
– my mustache growing. It's getting pretty serious.
So, yeah, that's what's going on. That's my life right now. And what I have to do is I have to – once it gets into the nitty-gritty – I will post quarterly picks for you guys. I will show you the week 4 NFL season. After week 4, I will post a picture and I will show you the progress. It's not going to be good, but I will show it to you.
Yep. And also what we're going to have coming up here in a couple weeks before I'm going to say the week that we do the show right before leading up to week 1 for the NFL games, still from last season after losing to I lost in something. And the bet was I had the Pickhams. Yeah. I had to ice myself. So the week leading up to the very first game is when I'm going to do that. And we record these videos and I'll cut a clip of it and I'll put it out.
We'll just have to post the actual video.
I could do a live stream as we're recording. So I could do both. And have two different copies going on. So that's definitely going to happen. Give it some good
2 weeks.
Yeah, about 2 weeks. So we'll have to do that. But I think that's all we got for today. And again, tweet us. Go to our Instagram at Bills Browns Pod, Facebook, Bills Browns Breakdown, and hit us up. So that's all we got for you today. And we'll see you guys next week. And remember, go Bills, go Browns.